27, 2012 variance hearing. I'm Daniel Steiger, the acting zoning administrator, joined by Ava Atira Taylor, who is our executive secretary, and we have your controls running the hearing this morning. Before we get into the substance of today's hearing, there are a handful of housekeeping matters that I'd like to run through quickly. Please bear with me. This information is a bit tedious, but it is important. Firstly, the order of presentation. After we call an item, the applicant or owner of the property will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the 5 findings needed to justify variance have been met. At this time, the applicant should also submit the declaration of posting to Ms. Atira as they approach. Subsequently, proponents are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Opponents to the case are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Subsequently to that, any public comment that may have been made is afforded a rebuttal period by the project sponsor. That is a 3-minute period if your team chooses to take advantage of it. I may or may not ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. And lastly, I will take an action on the item. Typically, that is either to continue the matter or to close the public hearing and either take the matter under advisement or state inclination to grant or deny a variance. Consent calendar items are an exception to what I've just said. There are 3 items on the consent calendar today. Items on the consent calendar are matters that we consider to be routine. If you would like to speak on one of these items, please step forward when these items are called. Otherwise, they will be granted. We'll get to these items in just a second. There are 5 criteria for granting variance. Planning Code Section 305C states that they are as follows. Finding 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other properties or uses in the same class or district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of the specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of subject property possessed by other properties in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And lastly, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision that we make is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to current staff backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete them following the date of this hearing. If you do wish to receive a copy of the decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet on the wall right over there and provide your contact and mailing information. We will, of course, send a copy of the decision letter to project sponsors, so if you are the applicant, there is no need to sign that sheet. Once the decision letter is issued, it carries with it a 10-day appeal window during which it may be appealed directly to the Board of Appeals, and that applies either for approvals or denials of the variance. A few last matters here. There will be a public comment period at the end of our hearing today. During that time, we'll hear from any member of the public who wishes to speak regarding items that are not on today's agenda. Each member of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Private conversations today are very disruptive to the hearing, as you might imagine. While we do, of course, encourage parties to meet and discuss the cases that are on the agenda, please do so outside of the hearing room. Also, at this time, I'd like to ask that everyone please turn off their mobile devices. Do not just put them on vibrate. The vibrate mode interferes with our AV equipment. The next variance hearing is scheduled for Wednesday, July 25th. And audio recordings of this and all other previous variance hearings beginning in January 2011 are available on our website, on the Planning Department's website. And that wraps up our housekeeping matters. Thank you all for your patience with those. And let's move forward to the items for continuance.
We have 2 items actually to be considered for being proposed for continuance. Those are the two items. The first item, which is in our calendar, is case number 2011.0391V, 2100 Jackson Street, rear yard and non-complying structure variances sought. Also, item number 6 on our calendar will also be continued on July 26th at the hearing of our Planning Commission, and that's case number 2010.0158V, 2712 Broadway, side yard variance sought.
Are there any public members of the public wish to comment on either of these two variances? Sir?
Good morning. I'm David Raymer.
Can you put your microphone closer? Thank you, sir.
Good morning. I'm David Raymer of DR Architecture, 442 Bow Street here in San Francisco. I am here as an agent for the Levitts, owner of the 2710 Broadway Street, the adjoining property to the applicant at 2712 Broadway, and have materials to submit supporting the Levitts' objection to the side yard setback variance being requested by the applicant. For the record, the Levitts' preference is that the matter be heard before the zoning administrator rather than the Planning Commission on the July 26th. Thank you.
Are there any other members of the public who wish to address these continuances? Seeing none, we will close the public comment. While I'm sympathetic to the desires of the Levitts, I think it's in the public interest to have both the variance heard along with the multiple discretionary reviews for this case, and as such, we will be continuing both cases as proposed.
We're moving to consent calendars. We have three items in our consent calendars. Case number 2012-0189V, 55-57 Guatan Street, rear yard and non-complying structure variances sought. Item number 3, case number 2011.1433V, 560 Presida Avenue. Item number 4, the Presida Avenue case is regarding rear yard, off-street parking, and expansion of non-conforming use or structure variances sought. Item number 4, case number 2012.0643V, 3318 Folsom Street, rear yard, parking, and intensifying a non-conforming structure variances sought.
Aside from project sponsors, is there any public comment on either of these three items? Ma'am, are you the project sponsor for any of these three? Microphone, please.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
My name is Karen Saginor. I live next door to the case number 4, Folsom Street. And I'm not familiar with the procedures here, but proposal is to raise that house. I have a couple of concerns and problems, but one of them is that it will cover over a window. Now, both houses were built in 1906, 1907. They're very old houses. Things that were done 100 years ago wouldn't be done now. But my windows is only a few inches above the roof, and it's not at the point where there is a window well. So when that building is raised, that will cover at least a foot and a half of that window, flush against the window. There are two other windows that are on a window well, but raising it's a very shallow window well. It's only 3 feet. Raising that house will block out quite a bit of my light of the living room. I don't know what my rights are, whether this is something that matters to this commission or not. I wish that I had heard about this plan before they went out and hired an architect to put this whole thing in place. I have no desire to interfere with my neighbor's enjoyment, but I do have these issues, and as I said, I don't really know what my rights are.
Thank you, ma'am. What I'd like to do is remove this item from the consent calendar. What might make sense in the Delta era would be to act on the other two items on the consent calendar if there are no members of the public in opposition to those, and to take the Grad Street case.
Make it as an item, first item of the regular calendar.
Precisely. So let's do that.
Sure.
And you'll have an opportunity to.
Okay. And it will also give the opportunity for the sponsor to speak if they're in the House. So for two items, item number two and item number three, 55 to 57 Gratan Street and 560 Presida Avenue. Is there anybody here who would like to speak on these two properties?
I see none. The public hearing is closed, and we are inclined to grant these variances subject to standard conditions. Thank you, and let's move on. Where the return, I suppose, to the wholesome street item that we will be removing from the consent calendar and during the regular calendar is the project sponsor for item number 4318 Wholesome Street. Project sponsor is in the room today.
Okay, let me read that off again. Item number 4, case number 2012-0643V, 3318 Folsom Street. Rear yard, parking, and intensifying a non-conforming structure, variance is sought. Is the sponsor for this project here? Would you please approach the mic, sir? You have 5 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Schindler. I'm the architect on the project, Andy Levine, Living Architects. We are intending on remodeling this old house that's practically abandoned by adding parking. There's no existing off-street parking. In order to comply with what we'd like to do is to bring it into compliance with the Bernal Use Special Use District requirements for parking to make the house more enjoyable for the owners. In order to get headroom into the garage, we need to raise the house a little under 2 feet, about 22 inches. And in the process, we've triggered two requirements for variance. One is in Bernal, we're not allowed to average the rear yards for the two adjacent neighbors, and so the portion of the roof that extends into the rear yard setback triggers the variance. We're not going into the rear yard at all anymore than it exists. In fact, there's an existing porch building in the back that we're not touching. We're leaving it alone. It's just the main portion of the house that we raised to have a consistent floor level and have garage space. The other issue is that Bernal only required to have two parking spaces because of the amount of space that we're adding, and we're not allowed to have tandem spaces in Bernal, so and we need to have a variance for that. Our neighbors extend into the rear yard considerably more than we do, both sides, and quite a bit on the block. Many houses have parking, which we'd like to have. Should I answer questions, or who let the project sponsor speak? Or we did get unsolicited support by the neighbor in the back, who said she's really happy to hear that. And I have a copy. I sent that to Corey T. It was gratifying to have someone say, "Hey, your house." This place has been a mess, and I'm happy to see some improvements.
Have you had a chance to speak with your town council manager?
Sure.
I believe the woman who spoke to you after my
notes. Upton,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you have a chance to speak with her?
She called me yesterday. It was the first time we spoke. And I think not only are we raising the roof, but we're pulling our light well in to make it compliant with today's code, so it will shade her house less. Also, we are to the north, so it's a minimal impact of shade, because she's to the south.
Thank you, sir. I don't have any more questions for you at this time. I would like to ask, if she's willing, a member of the public to approach, so I ask her a question or two. Ms. Lee, do you mind returning to the microphone?
Do you want the project sponsor to speak or not yet?
understanding was that you were the project sponsor, sir.
I'm sorry?
My understanding was that you were the project sponsor.
So I'm the architect.
And you're here on behalf of the project sponsor.
The project sponsor is here as well.
Okay. We can give him... give him 3 minutes or 2 minutes.
Because it's one entity, I think we're better advised to take that 5 minutes and his remaining time.
Yeah, because he has a 1.49 seconds.
He's remaining 1.49. Okay. 5 questions, he'll certainly answer.
Ma'am, would you please approach the mic now?
Thank you very much, ma'am. Appreciate you raising these issues. Is it one window in particular that you are concerned with? Is it a number of windows that would be impacted? Can you help me understand the physicality of the impact?
So it's a pretty steep hill. So I have no windows. Actually, at the very back. My house also sticks out into the backyard. But for that middle room, the only windows are on the north side of the house, that uphill, right, the hill. And as I said, they're in a light well now, but it's very shallow. It's less than 3 feet. And it's already, I do get direct sunlight in there in the summer through that basic window into the middle part of the house. The window in the back room, there are also windows at the back of the house, but this one particular window, as I said, is at a point where there is no light well. It's right up against, would be right up against the other property right now. The roof, basically, it has to do with the roof, but it does bring light in. Raising that roof will, I guess, that would be able to show me most of the wall, right up against the wall. So.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that. The concern, as I understand it, is one based on impacts, light and air. I haven't heard that the parking issues are particularly impactful. Non-performing structure is a non-performing structure already. What's I think a particular note in this case is that the variance under scrutiny, if you will, is the rear yard variance, which only applies to the rear portion of the building. Based on your comments, and I would welcome to be corrected by the architect, project sponsor, or email, but it would certainly appear that the windows in question, certainly a majority of them, are within the buildable area of the lot. In other words, that a portion of the lot that isn't subject to this variance and that would be able to move forward for the as-of-right construction process, aside from today's. Based on that, my inclination, and I would say it's an inclination at this point, I'm sorry, let me pause at this point, and I'd like to afford the sponsor the opportunity to use the remainder of his time.
Yes, let's give, we'll give him 2 minutes.
Let my inclinations be known and support. Thank you very much, ma'am.
May I just bring out one more thing about because I understand this is about the variance, the rear yard portion. The window that will be blocked is at the back, so that is part of the variance. And when you're done, if you'll just tell me, since this is not a variance issue, is there some other forum that I should be going to for concerns about the height? Thank you.
We'll talk about that. Thank you very much, sir.
We'll give you 3 minutes, sir.
Okay. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. We've been working on this project since October, so unable to start. We've just heard this complaint in the last 24 hours. So we really haven't had a chance to address it, unfortunately, and so here we are. I'm sympathetic, of course, to these kind of issues, but at the same time, we are within our rights, I believe. We've been very careful. Windows on the property line against the houses often have to be removed in San Francisco for fire issues anyway, when the houses are so close to each other. And we're only raising this roof 22 inches. We're just trying to get the property to conform to the houses around it. We're not doing anything too outside the box at all. As far as the variance is concerned, this is not in the rear setback. It's not in the rear of the house. This is in the light wall, the existing light wall, as it were. And, I'd love to have a have had time to try to work something out between my neighbor and myself, but unfortunately, like I said, it was just so last minute. And so here we are. Like I said, I think that everything that we're doing would be fairly noticeable. You know, 22 inches is such a short amount of height to go up. And you know, we are trying very hard to conform to all the standards of thermal heights.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much.
I think there may be a bit of confusion here. What I'd like is a little unorthodox, but I'd like the architect and the neighbors to, just on the set of plans that I have here, indicate where the windows in question are so we have certainty on that.
Certainly.
Is there a general consensus between the two parties that these are in broad terms where windows exist?
After Karen called me yesterday, I went over this morning on the way in, and those two windows are correct. I measured from the corner about 8 feet in. And that window I had before. This window must be on the upstairs.
No.
On my same level. Right, I haven't seen that window. I guess it's directly against our walls.
Right.
It's on the same level, the same floor as this?
Yes, it's placed high.
Oh. Is there a floor above it? Is there a floor above it?
Yes.
A bedroom there?
No.
I'll tell you what, here's what I'd like to do.
No.
I'd like to continue this item until the end of the calendar today. I'd like to give you both time to step outside of the room, talk about this, hopefully come back and do this a little bit. But,
so while we're waiting for item number four, we will go back to that at the end of the calendar. So we're going to move to item number five. Item number five, case number 2012-0154V, 3415 21st Street. Rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. Is the sponsor of the this project here? 3415 21st Street. We'll skip that and see if they would come between now and later. Since item number six is a continuance for July, item number seven, case number 2012-0233V, 2627 Lombard Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. Is the sponsor? Sir, you have 5 minutes.
I'm going to let the architect do the sponsor.
Okay. Could you please move the mic closer to you? Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, my name is Janet Campbell. I'm the architect
of
the record.
Speak
into the
microphone,
ma'am. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfect.
My name is Janet Campbell. I'm the architect of the record. This is a case where we had a previous deck that was built out that leveled out a hillside that came sloping down very drastically. There was commercial on both levels. And at one point, there was residential building at the top, and the commercial was extended out. Client bought the property. It had been extended out underneath the deck, past the rear yard. And if you look at the photographs of the site, from the side, the lot on the east, you can see where that lot is actually dug down, way down. And we are actually leveling out that area. Before, it was a rear yard that was filled with mechanical equipment and so forth, and now it's a beautiful area that you can look down onto. And this variance is for the commercial underneath, the extension that was done previously. It goes back about 36 feet beyond the existing rear yard line. But it is primarily, I'd say about 95% hidden or more. Are there any questions or anything else you want me to go over?
Not at this time, thank you very much.
Okay.
Are there any members of the public here who wish to speak on this item? And members of the public for 2627 Lombard Street? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing on the matter. I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a bit of a history on this particular case, which is that in 1987, a variance was denied on this property to construct the deck as they were speaking about. And the reason for the denial was that it was the thinking of the zoning administrator at that time that constructing the deck would lead to the subsequent infill underneath that deck with illegal construction. On appeal, the Board of Appeals reversed my predecessor's decision, saying that the zoning administrator was merely speculating. So it's interesting that we're here today. Having said that, this structure was originally built as a commercial building, and that's unique in this RH2 district. It's also a unique lot, it's extraordinarily long. It functions as a bit of a transition lot between the more heavily commercial segment of Lombard Street and the more residential segment to the west of this parcel. Unique topography, as you suggested, such that the residential level really is even with the rear of the lot and the deck structure itself. And frankly, that gets to the intent of the planning code, and in my mind, it makes this deck structure one that is consistent with the spirit, but not the letter. So based on the foregoing, I am going to grant this variance subject to standard conditions, and thank you for coming down to this one.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 8. Case number 2012.0465V, 237 and 239 28th Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Andy Morrell. I'm the architect of the project. And essentially what we're doing is just replacing existing non-conforming, very steep, very dilapidated, very dangerous rear egress stair with one that is up to code. And in doing so, actually, the state of the existing structure is that it's already built in the existing rear yard. So given that basis, we're essentially required to build the required rear egress stair in the required rear yard. In addition to that required egress stair, we would like to also include a small deck that would provide the required private open space for the third unit, or, I'm sorry, for the second unit on the third story. And in so doing, according to my estimation, averaging the two setbacks of the two adjacent properties, and then using the allowed projection per the code for 136C25, that in fact we're only going to be a few feet outside the allowable buildable rear yard for the proposed small new deck. And of course, the required egress stair would be about 9 feet in total within the required rear yard. Currently the configuration of the stair as it is, and you can kind of get a sense of, so you kind of see that this section here is actually there's a small, very narrow landing. Over here is the property line. So this entire structure is actually right on the property line and not done to current code. So by moving the stairway as we're proposing away from that property line, actually a little more than 3 feet, 3'4", we're actually preventing having to put a very large firewall that would be very obstructive to light and air to the adjacent property over here. And then the proposed deck is quite a distance away from this is the proposed deck here, the small proposed deck at the third story, and it's quite a distance away from the adjacent property here. So it's our estimation that we're not affecting the light and air on this property as well. And then also, just as a note, there's a great deal of vegetation in the back of that property. So as far as privacy goes, I think also in our estimation that we're not really impeding on anyone's privacy. You can kind of see the shot of the amount of foliage that's back there. So it's really quite quite deep with foliage. So that's essentially the summary of the project. So
thank you, sir. We'll have some questions for you, but I'd like to ask first if there are anyone in the public today here on this item. Anyone in the public for 237, 239, 28th Street? Okay. Sir, the project has been the subject of a little bit of comment from the neighborhood, in particular one of your adjacent neighbors, expressing, as I understand it, through a letter, some reservations about impacts to light and air and privacy and so forth. Have you considered alternate configurations of the stairway or of the deck that might intrude less into the rear yard or be more respectful of that?
Actually, I don't believe so. I believe if it was reconfigured in any other manner, I think it would actually be impinging considerably more on this neighbor, since we would have to configure the stairway going lengthwise across our structure. So there would be a fairly tall landing at this point that would be looking down at this neighbor. So I think overall, given the consideration of the design and adjacent properties and of course our property as well, I think, for a matter of light and air, both for our project, because if we were, to put that stairway lengthwise across the back of the house, that would impede quite substantially across the only real area, of course, on the back of the house where we have the opportunity to create some light and the proper ventilation, the required ventilation light for the interior rooms of the house. So by moving the stairway away from the adjacent property line as it is now, I think we're improving the configuration immensely, just to what it is now. And everything is centered towards the center of our lot. We're not as much as as conceivably possible. So we're not over on one side of the lot. We're kind of defining the area of the stair and the deck and the center portion of our lot, so we're off the adjacent properties.
Thank you, that's helpful. There were also some allegations set forth in writing that there was work going on now on the premises that was beyond the scope of the permit. Would you like to respond to that?
I don't believe that there is. There's a current permit that's out for the renovation of the entire building. So everything is being done to permit, is being inspected. So I'm doing site visits, I'm not aware of anything. I would note that the existing stair was taken down because it was a hazard, and the building inspector was made aware of that and did approve that that action. So the contractor who was doing work on the property had to take that existing stair down. And I could probably agree with them just looking at the, if you were to take a look at the photograph. These are basically 4x4 posts that are going three stories. And a lot of them are not stabilized or are not supported in any real way as far as lateral movement, so it's really a very unstable structure. So it shouldn't have really been built in the first place, and it's really unusable as it is. I've gone down it a few times and it shakes. It shook considerably when I went down. I'd say it was standing. It was a non-usable stair and was a hazard. So they did take it down. That was noted by the building inspector and approved by them to do that. So.
Thank you for that clarification. If you have any documentation that goes to that. I'd like very much after the hearing to submit it to our office. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I would like to close the public hearing at this time, seeing as there were no members of the public to speak to this issue. I'm intrigued by this more recent removal of the stairway. I think that that's all the process to this industry. It is unusual given this pending application that it would be removed. But again, as you said, sir, there was a question about the safety of the stairs. I am influenced, I think, to a significant degree by the removal of the side component of the existing deck that intrudes arguably more so on the adjacent properties, like air and space and so forth. I think that in this case, one of the important things to keep in mind is that the stairway itself, which extends far deeper into the rear yard than does the deck, that stairway is not subject to this variance. That stairway is an as-of-right extension under the planning code, owing to its status as providing a required second use of egress under the building code. So the variance itself is really only for that top level deck. And while larger in size than the preceding deck along the side property line, it is located in such a fashion as to have less of an impact on the adjacent properties. The 311 neighborhood notice of this project won't expire until I believe next Friday, next Thursday, the 5th of July. So what I'm going to do at this time is take the matter under advisement. Not inclined to issue a determination. Sir, I would like it if you could forward Ms. Atiero with the materials regarding the removal of the existing stair structure, and we will issue a ruling on this matter subsequent to closure of the 311 period on or after July 5th. Thank you very much.
Moving along to item number 9, case number 2011.1351V, 1726 Alabama Street, non-compliant structure, rear yard, mass reduction, and parking variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
When you want to give you the affidavit, photograph, and three letters of support. Good morning, Toby Morris, Kerman Morris Architects, on behalf of the owners. The existing structure at 1726 Alabama dates from 1886, and the present footprint, massing, roof forms, and large fronts have been called in existence since 1900, well before present zoning. The building sat on a large lot for 100 years, twice the size of the current lot, and also had a covered porch at the front, which we intend to rebuild. The project enjoys 100% support from abutting neighbors, three of them, and the variances, while numerous, four of them are all minor. So I'd like to go through the various circumstances and criteria, the first being extraordinary circumstances, of which there are three. The home was determined to be a historic resource under CEQA, limiting alterations to character-defining features in the facade. For example, no dormers were allowed at the front gable by historic review. The second is the 18-foot front setback, which is twice the size of any adjacent one. The setting is historical, not the making of the project sponsor. Adjacent property to the south has the same lot depth and building depth, but does not have encroachment issues. The front setback results in 12.5 feet of existing non-conforming construction in every yard. The last is that the garage, when it was constructed, was fully excavated, and according to Section 242, this space counts as usable floor area, and it results in overstating the actual inhabitable floor area and excessive parking requirements. So going to literal enforcement of the code results in practical difficulties, necessary hardships. I'm going to just go through each one of these variances and how that plays out. I'll put up the site plan just to help. Section 188, expansion of non-compliant structure. The only reason that this is part of the in play here is the existing first and second floors are in the required rear yard. They're not proposed for expansion, and This is a hardship because any expansion would require a variance, including the rebuilding of that porch. In terms of the rear yard, section 242E2, the historic standing and the large 18-foot front setback are hardships. In that they limit expansion to behind the cross gable at the front of the building. And we're asking for a 1.5-foot variance for the dormers at the back of the top floor. Mass reduction, 242E3. The intent of this code is to limit square footage and volume of the building, whereas our proposal, most of the new square footage is under the existing roof. We need a 72-foot variance. That's roughly equivalent to the porch that was prior existing that we want to rebuild. Parking, 242E4. Literal enforcement of this code would require 4-car parking for a single family home. We're not increasing the number of bedrooms or occupants in the house. We could put a 3-car spot in the garage by removing the existing stair enclosure. We could put a 4th car in the driveway, but that would require screening per 142. Which would be a detriment to the historic resources facade. We don't think the 4-car parking is consistent with the need for the project sponsor, the neighbors, or CD Transit First policy. Are these variances necessary for the enjoyment of the property rights of, in the district? 1750 Alabama, 2 doors up, also has a 3rd-floor addition under its gable roof. Mass reductions, ours is modest. There have been variances at 659 Ellsworth, 687 Moultrie, 19 Winfried, and 85 Wall over the last few years. Those are for 2-story additions, therefore going up into the roofs. Finally, are there adverse impacts on the neighborhood or the public? No, as far as I know, there are no comments from any neighbors. We have the 3 letters of support, Terry Gellman and the East Slope Design Review Board. Decided this was too minor to review, they're in support, and the addition has no impact in mid-block open space. So we respectfully request that you approve these variances. The owners are here too, if there's any time left, they can have an opportunity to speak.
If there's time left and they'd like to speak, they're certainly welcome to do so.
I think to open it for the public first.
Let's let the user make it for 5 minutes.
Okay. You have 1 minute left, sir.
Okay, an additional letter of support from the neighbor.
Thank you.
So, good morning. My name is Noel Kaufman. My wife, Nicole Grindle, is here with me as well. We are the owners of 1726 Alabama Street and the sponsors of the proposed project. Nicole and I moved to Bernal Heights. Nicole and I moved to Bernal Heights in 1990. 3 years later, soon after we were married, we bought our first home, a small 2-bedroom cottage on Ripley Street, just around the corner from our current home. Both our son Gabriel and our daughter Stella were born while we were living on Ripley. And it soon became apparent that our young family would need larger space to grow. And so we looked for a long time, and we looked out to find the 19th century farmhouse just around the corner from us on Ripley, a home that we had driven past and admired for several years. And we've lived at 1726 Alabama since 1999. As our children have grown into young adults, our home current configuration has butt up against the need for greater privacy for both our teenagers and ourselves. This is a primary reason why we wish to convert our existing attic into a master bedroom and bath, to provide us with a greater measure of privacy for our family.
Can you finish up your last sentence?
Okay, great, thanks. In addition, we are motivated to replace the original steep and narrow staircase that goes from our first floor to our second floor so that my mother, who's now 85, does not have to sleep on the couch in the living room when she comes to visit, but could go to our guest room on the second floor. We also want to restore the covered entry porch to provide a real entryway to our house, as well as to create a separate, distinct living room. These are some of the main reasons that underlie the design of the remodel project, which is under your consideration. All of the modifications are meant to improve the quality of our family life in the neighborhood that we have called home for more than 20 years.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there any comment from members of the public? Is anyone here from the public to address this item? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment. What I think weighs heavily on my mind is that, as Mr. Morris said, this is indeed a historic property that dates to at least the 1880s. It's one of the only early farmhouses remaining in this part of the city. This does, of course, constrain development potential on the site, especially at the front of the property, where I would know the architect did work with our staff to minimize, preclude, you know, any negative impact whatsoever. In this case, the literal application of the code would likely have a detrimental impact on this historic property. And that's something that, as I said earlier, weighs heavily in my thinking. Additionally, the variances, in particular the mass reduction variance and the rear yard variance, they are rather minor, involving a 72 square foot reduction, I think a 4.5 foot reduction of the required rear yard. And this, of course, the continued use and enjoyment of a historic property. So while these factors do make me preliminarily inclined to look favorably on this application, the Section 311 neighborhood notice won't expire until the 12th of July. So having said all these things, what I would like to do at this time is to take the matter under advisement, and on the 12th or soon thereafter, we will issue a formal ruling.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2012.0204V166 Winfield Street, usable open space variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Yes, my name is Mark Quinn. I'm representing Philip Carberry, who is seeking the variance. The project involves permitting an existing two-unit building. He purchased the property 25 years ago, and has been in continuous use as two units in that entire time. His wish was to add additional square footage in the basement, in the existing envelope, the existing envelope of the building, to add a bedroom and bathroom, so that there would be two units that have two bedrooms and a separate bathroom downstairs for guests and additional living space. Currently, the unit is a two-room break room, consisting of about 15 foot by 12 foot, because the entire property is about 25 foot wide. The issue that we have is that they wish to add an additional staircase that would allow the tenant on the upper level to have access to the garden area down in the backyard, three stories down. The problem that the reason why we're requesting this variance is because of the design of the building, which is the entire back space is the width of the building is 25 feet, and there's no place to actually put a staircase that would not block existing windows and ventilation and the views from the middle level unit that are currently part of the attraction of the property. So we are seeking the variance from adding an additional staircase downstairs into the available open space. It would also, not only would it block the view and the windows on two levels of the proposed building, but would also overlook the neighbor's property as well. And there is no, it would basically be looking right down onto his, the staircase would be looking right down onto his deck. I don't know if there's, I was asked to also make a clarification. There is a, on the elevation of the, our planner, Diego, asked us to mention that when I called out the roof deck, my terminology was that the roof deck meant that that was the level that the tar paper of the roof was, not actually a roof deck, but that's, there's a parapet in the front of the building, but no parapet in the back. I was just showing that that was the top of the roof. So that was clarification. So there was no roof deck there.
So be sure, and just for the record, there is no roof deck.
There is no roof deck. That's the decking of the roof.
Anything further to add, sir?
No, I think that was I think that was all that had. We would like to we'd like to we're trying to get this permitted. We're trying to get we've met the requirements for parking, and it is has been under historical use when he purchased it. It already had two meters for utilities for the property, and they had tried to go through the process of permitting it as two units, and so we're just trying to complete that project at this point. That was started when before he bought the property.
So that I understand correctly, it sounds like your client was aware that the second unit was not properly permitted when he acquired the property.
They had started the permitting process, and whether or not he was, I don't know what his awareness was 25 years ago. It's been a long time since, but it has been rented out as two units, and it does have two required parking spaces, as well as parking across the driveway for an additional parking. So there is basically three parking spaces for the tenants that live there in the property. The only variance we're seeking is the allowance of not putting in an expensive and staircase that would also block the views and the air and the light from the lower unit.
Thank you, sir. Are there any members of the public who would like to comment on this item?
You have 3 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Bruce Balsham. I live adjacent to Mr. Barberry. I don't know if this is my house, but he's lived there 25 years. I've lived there 30 years. So I was there when this house was originally built. And I was also on the design review board when it was built. And there's a question about the bootlegging of the second unit and when it came through. Nevertheless, today I'm here to address opposing the variance and the addition. I have concerns on both. Mr. Carberry started work on this particular project last August, and he started excavating. He has a storage area in his basement unit, and he started excavating without permits. I was concerned about the foundation, whether it was going to impact my house. I asked to see the engineering plans. He couldn't produce them. He had no plans. I called building permission to stop work. As far as the variances here today, I don't, for the rear open space rear area, basically, if I did a survey of the adjacent properties, there are 15 properties, 11 of them are duplexes, and each one of them has provided open, usable open space, either by providing a separate deck for each unit, a deck with a staircase, or interior access to the garden. So I really don't see that Mr. Carberry is, I think he granted a special favor. As far as the economic affordability, he's always charged market rate units, market rate houses, and it's not listed as low-income units, and as far as blocking his air view, he's going to be, I have a deck on my property, my basement unit is blocked by a stairway because of the deck, so that's the situation. So I don't think there's a basis for the variance. As far as the addition, which is I'm very much concerned about, is, and I know it's not a planning issue, but the fact that I've still not seen plans being submitted for excavation on this particular property. And I've asked for this several times, that's the reason I issued a stop work notice. And The adjacent property owner, who's not here, she's in Europe, getting her correspondence, I think you've got them both. We're basically concerned about the foundation work going on, and we have not gotten any reassurance from Mr. Carberry since he started work on this project without building permit originally. This property has had a history of not obtaining building permits. As long as Mr. Carberry's lived there, he's never obtained a building permit for anything that he's ever done. There's been a bootleg unit originally put in there. He never did anything about legalizing this unit. He just rented it out. So that's a concern. Now, as far as the parking situation is concerned, I don't think the plans he submitted to you were actually accurate, because he does park two cars in the garage, but they both happen to be compact cars. The ordinance requires a full-length car. He's got so much clutter in that garage. He's built shelves on either side of the garage, and he has a washing machine, a dryer, heater, and furnace at the rear of the structure. He'd have to remove the shelves as well as the washing machine and dryer to be able to accomplish a full-size car. He can't do it now, and he wouldn't be able to do it. So I guess I'm requesting Snyder's request, and if you decide to grant the approval, I have conditions that I'd like you to impose to solve it for you, if it's possible, to express my letter. And if you want my correspondence or my neighbors, I'm more happy to give it to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And just to be sure, the conditions of approval that you are asking for are those that are in your letter, which is...
Yeah, those are the conditions. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other members of the public who would like to comment on this item? Okay, let's look to the project sponsor. Sir, would you like to use your 3 minutes of rebuttal?
I think that one of the things that I would like to say is that at the Bernal Heights meeting, we had support on this from the same member of the public who is now saying he's not supporting it because he did not want a staircase built overlooking his property. We are, in regards to his non-compliance, we are trying to bring it into compliance. We are seeking the permits to allow this building to be listed as a two-unit building. The drawings are accurate. I know that he says to the contrary, but we worked with the Bernal Heights Design Review Board to make sure that all the drawings are accurate and that the spaces called out were accurate in their call-outs. Trying to think of anything else. As far as permits going, yes, he has done a lot of work. He's remodeled a kitchen. I don't think a kitchen remodel necessarily always requires a permit. It depends on whether or not you're putting in a brand new kitchen with multiple sinks and adding new gas lines, none of which he did. He just replaced cabinets and countertops. In regards to excavation, we have submitted all of our plans, none of which requires excavation. We actually just removed existing ramp proofing. We had a stop work order, and this building inspector from the city did come and inspect the area, saw that there was no excavation being done. He said we didn't need a permit to put it ramp proofing back in. We said this was beyond the ramp proofing. We wanted to make sure that we had the building permitted, and we wanted to make it livable space. There's no excavation. There's no requirement for structural drawings, and I think that is also something that should be addressed by the building and safety and department when they review the plans and permit those. Other than that, I think that we've tried to dot our I's and cross our T's. Every time they've made a suggestion, such as removing a wall so that we can't add a third unit, removing a sink so that it's not a rentable unit downstairs, a separate rentable unit. Every time they've asked us to do something, we have gone and we've made the changes and submitted the plans to the various government agencies that have required them. So we have, every time we make a new change, they come up with another change and another request for a change on this one particular project. We have notified the neighbors. We've made sure that we've done everything to the letter. And we're trying to continue to work in compliance with this. To make sure that this unit remains on the market, so we have the two units as opposed to just removing one of the units as a rental unit from the property. So.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
it would appear that one of the things, Ms. Atier, that includes the comment period, am I correct?
Yes, it's already.
Let's close the public comment this time. We may have questions of folks involved. One of the things that does appear clear here is that this property has a history of noncompliance, at least with respect to a longstanding second unit that has not had a proper permit. I'm not going to speak to some of the other issues at this time because I'm not sure they have direct bearing on this variance, but it is noted that there's been a pattern of compliance issues associated with this property. The matter that we're considering here today is just this question of whether or not the top unit, the legal unit, should be or could be deprived of its code-required usable open space. Right now, that is provided, or should be, or should have been provided through access to the project sponsor has suggested that the only way of remedying this is through the construction of a rear stairway. Clearly, that would be one of the easier ways of doing that. I should also note that doing that would appear to require a rear yard variance. I don't know how we would look at a variance like that. I think it's important to bear in mind that there are other ways of meeting this code requirement, not just rear stairs. One of the alternatives would be a stairway either connecting the upper level to the existing rear stair on the lower level. One of the ways would be by creating a pass-through from the front door straight through the back door. Yes, you would use a little bit of usable space in that lower unit, but you would meet the code requirement. You would not require this variance. A third way would be by perhaps executing what the plans may have indicated originally, which would be to construct a roof deck. All three of those become without a variance from the planning board. Having said that, I think I'd like to ask the sponsor what your initial thoughts are and why you've chosen to proceed with a variance rather than considering any of these other options. Would you like to comment on that, sir?
We did consider putting in a roof deck. There was an article recently in the San Francisco Chronicle which discussed the advantages to using roof space, and had several benefits for using a roof space, and we did discuss this as a possibility as opposed to putting a stair that would block the view and the air and light from the lower levels, putting a staircase up to the roof, and putting a roof deck. I believe it's 125 square foot for personal space, open space, which would be something like an 10 by 11 or 11 by 12 roof deck up there. And if that would suffice, and we wouldn't have to put the staircase down to the garden, then that is a possibility that we can add on to the project at this time. And so we are willing to, if we can't get the variance to disallow the stair, then we are, we had discussed putting the staircase up as opposed to putting the staircase down.
Thank you for your time and your candor. I appreciate that. Let's formally close the public hearing. Public hearing is closed. Thank you. My thinking at this time is the following. I'm not sure one way or the other if there is a hardship here or if there is not a hardship here that would justify the granting of a variance. What I'm going to do is take this matter under advisement. And what I would encourage the project sponsor to do during the time that this is under advisement would be to discuss potential alternatives with our staff in and I'm not making a decision one way or the other. I'm not even stating inclination one way or the other. I'm only stating that it might be advisable. So you could talk about how the planning code might view alternate approaches to usable open space requirements. Final note here would be that the section 311 neighborhood notification for this project, I'm told, does expire for a few more days, 29, so Friday. There is an avenue to the member of the public for a request for discretionary review to the Planning Commission. If your concerns go beyond the scope of this variance, you have until Friday to file a request for discretionary review. I would, as a general rule, encourage parties to discuss the matter amongst themselves before doing that, because almost categorically, the outcome will be superior when the parties involved agree to it rather than having it imposed on it by a third party. So with that, as I said earlier, I will be taking the matter under advisement and we will issue a decision in the near future. Thank you all for coming this morning.
Moving to item number 11, case number 2011-0793V, 1201 Cortland Avenue or 209 Prentice Street. Lot area, open space, rear yard, mass reduction, and parking variances sought. Is the sponsor for this project here? Approach the mic, ma'am. You have 5 minutes. Approach the mic, please. Close. Okay.
I'm Woody Hamp. I'm the architect of the project. This project is a lot line adjustment. There was two lots. One is on 1201 Cobbin Avenue, and then the new lot. Right now it's assigned the address 209 Pender Street. Before the existing house is sitting on top of the divider of the lot line, so we are applying to have the adjustment of the lot line, avoid the existing house so we don't have to demolish the existing house, and then with the other empty lot to build the new house in the vacant lot. And because of that adjustment, there triggers a few variations because of the irregular configuration of the lot. It's not the regular 25 feet deep lot. This is our proposal. So with the existing house and the lot line adjusted, we try to keep 5 feet separation between the adjacent building, and then the rear yard of the new house to be sort of a good open space to give for the group of the three triangular shape house group. This is the proposal of the elevation of the new house between the two neighbors. This is a view PD model simulating with the two houses side by side, with the addition house side by side, and then this new house is standing in the middle. Design trying to push back the 25 feet lot width to sort of divide the whole length into a few bays to tie into the neighborhood design. More illustration of three-dimensional modeling with an aerial view showing the roof terrace. And this is from the rear yard clearing showing we have with the neighbors. We try to keep a 5 feet separation between buildings, and then the rear yard in the middle of the three triangle building to make it a nice air and space for the roof. Variations. We have a few variations on this lot line adjustment. For both houses, we have a lot area variance, which and then the rear yard variance plus no parking for the existing house, and then the mass reduction rules cannot apply. It's came in hardship for the new house. I try to explain each variation one by one. The lot line, this is the existing and the new, so the total add up is the same unchanged. The square footage remains similar, but still this is, as it is, still cannot meet the minimum requirement of 750 square feet. This is the two house with the setback because for the existing house because of the change in orientation of the shape of the property, then the 15 rear yard side yard become rear yard, so it's kind of hard to follow that rule. The new house because of its configuration, then the 15 feet setback would cut the building into a less than 10 feet depth, which is possible.
Your time is up, ma'am.
So
finish up your presentation.
Just to include five, you would.
So let's go for, I think, is the mass reduction. I try to do a mass reduction calculation for the new house, so you can see all the red that is really cannot become as the it's coming in to over the required mass reduction area.
Thank you very much. Sorry, your time is up. We do have your full plans though, and I would know that they are extensive. The renderings are helpful in taking our consideration of the proposal. So thank you. If you have any questions, we'll call you back.
This is just a sample of regular plot to
demonstrate. We have the information about it. Thank you very much. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak on this item? This is the 1201 Portland 209 premise item. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing. The materials in the docket were extensive. We very much appreciate that. The renderings were particularly helpful in considering the project, getting an understanding for what is an unusual situation, both existing and proposed. Here are my thoughts. The lot area variance is one that does not seem particularly onerous to me. Both lots are currently non-compliant. They'll still be non-compliant, albeit in configuration that's somewhat more conducive to development of the 2B vacant lot and more respectful of the fact that the building, as required in the building, would be on the second floor with respect to the existing lot. On the parking variance, we haven't heard from the community, which is unusual when it comes to parking. So I think that tells us something. The parking variance is for the existing structure. I don't see this as being particularly burdensome, and the long-standing nature of that property may well be grounds for hardship and granting the variance with respect to the parking. The rear yard variance also seems relatively substantiated, in that these are currently, and they will be, unusually configured lots, and a literal application of the planning code's rear yard requirements would result in a built form that is less than ideal, frankly, and one that would not necessarily benefit the public interest or the occupants of these properties. So having said that, having spoken to three of the four requested variances, I think we need to take a close look. We need to take a very close look at the mass reduction variance. And this is the variance for the lot that would contain a new house along Prentiss Avenue. This is a big house on a small lot. We're talking about 200 square feet of livable area on a 1,500 square foot lot. I'm concerned about the use of the proposed space. It should be a limited space. It should be a very efficient building owing to the irregularity and size of the lot. But in this case, we've got separate, spacious living, family, dining, and entertainment rooms. We have four bathrooms, one of which I really can't help but notice features side-by-side toilets. This is a house that is not efficient as designed presently. So, on balance and preliminarily, I do think that there may be justification for granting the rear yard variances, plural, the parking variance, and the lot area variances. However, the design of the building is excessive. And as one of my colleagues said, there's simply too much house here. I am not preliminarily inclined to look favorably on the mass reduction variance. As with some other cases here this morning, the 311 neighborhood notice does not expire until July 21st, so we have a bit more time to go yet. I'm not going to make a decision at this time. I am going to take the matter under advisement after having closed the public hearing, and we will issue a final determination on or after the 21st of July. So thank you for your very thorough briefings and thorough materials and your time this morning.
Moving to case number 12, case number 2012-0504V, 101 Maple Street, rear yard variance sought. With the sponsor, sir, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Gail Shilatis, the architects working for the owners of 101 Maple Street, and we are seeking a rear yard setback variance. This is the existing site plan of the building right now. And the building is actually, this is Maple Street and this is Jackson. The current building is set back 16 feet from Maple Street, which is much more than the minimum setback. So already the building has given up quite a bit of its available square footage to that front yard setback. And there's also an existing encroachment into the rear yard setback. And I will show the existing elevation. This is the elevation along Jackson Street. So right now there is a first story volume there right now. And it's right up to the lot line with its neighbor at 3725 Jackson. And again, it's set back from Maple Street, 16 feet. And there's an existing brick base course at the site right now that wraps around the corner. I believe it was from an older home that had burned down. This home was built during the 70s, and the proposal is to add the additional square footage into the rear yard on top of the existing encroachment. I'll show plans of what that looks like. Again, this is a section of the existing. So this is the existing encroachment, which is a single level. And the neighbor at 3725 Jackson Street has a three-story lot line wall right up against this condition. No windows. So the neighbor treats that, their site, as a side yard condition. The proposal is to add this master bedroom wing, which is 450 square feet. So it's roughly 15 feet by 30 feet. This is a section that shows, again, this is the existing encroachment, and then this is the addition, just one level over that existing encroachment. And the neighboring property is, again, a three-story lot line wall. And this is the front elevation of what the final renovation of 101 Maple will look like with the addition. So again, it is just addition on top of that existing encroachment, keeping that 16-foot setback on Maple Street and respecting the overall massing that the building has right now and how that works with the neighborhood. The one thing I also do need to note is that there's no neighborhood opposition right now to the project. In terms of its massing and seeking the variance, there are discussions right now with the neighbor about construction-related items for shoring that's required and construction. And I've been asked, actually, to note, Ni and Yang, who are the owners for this project, shall at the variance review hearing inform the hearing panel that they've obtained a box, that's 3725 Jackson, qualified non-opposition pursuant to an interim agreement, and that BOP has concerns regarding the project, including without limitation, those relating to earth support, noise, disruption, structural support, sound mitigation, drainage, and moisture intrusion. So we are in the process right now of working out a construction agreement, a shoring agreement. We have set a deadline for September 3rd to resolve that. And so I'm making the zoning administrator aware that this is in process, and I can also leave this copy of the shoring agreement for your review.
Thank you, sir. Is there any other public present who wishes to speak on this item? 101 Maple Street, corner of Jackson. Any member of the public wishing to speak? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing. My thoughts on this project are as follows. It is an unusual lot, both owing to its dimensionality, size, and the topography here. Despite being the rear yard for planning for the purposes of this portion of the lot, from Jackson Street really functions as a side yard. It's part of that contiguous block based along Jackson, rather than as a functional rear yard. I think it's also important to note the significant existing front setback along Maple Street that provides open space and is consistent with the intent in this district of providing buffers, if you will, around neighboring properties from the street. The adjacent neighbor, I presume, Mr. and Mrs. Bach, along Jackson, based on the plan submitted, don't appear to be impacted because of a large blank sidewall on their property. Now, that faces the subject property, and clearly the uphill neighbors are, well, they're just that, they're far uphill, and with any impact on the project are unlikely on the uphill neighbors. So these factors do make me preliminarily inclined to look favorably on the application. However, the 311 neighborhood notification period won't expire until July 15th, So I am not going to make a final decision until that time. As such, I'm closing the public hearing, and I am taking the matter under advisement. Thank you all for coming in this morning.
Mr. Zia, we're going to move back to item number 4, 3318 Folsom Street. If the sponsor and the opposing neighbor have made a decision on this property.
I think we've covered agreement.
Could you please approach the mic?
Certainly.
I think we've covered an agreement. We were going to assist our neighbor with adding light if it's taken away. I think we'll be able to help each other out. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir. Miss, do you want to make a comment?
Yeah, we would like to be good neighbors. We'd like not to end up in some other situations. And we, in lieu of having figured out exactly what it is that we're going to do, we've come to an agreement about a monetary amount that, in terms of things that can compensate for my building or what will happen to it. So we'll have a thank you.
Thank you, Ms.
I withdraw my objection.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you for both working together. Of course, any agreement between the parties is just that the city is not a party to any private arrangements that may be made. As Ms. Tahira mentioned earlier, items that were is scheduled for the consent calendar are considered routine, which is to say that we do believe there are grounds in this case for the granting of the variance. And accordingly, we would grant this variance subject to standard conditions. Again, thank you both for working through this issue.
Moving also to item number 5, earlier we called this case, but the sponsor is not in the hearing room, so we're going to call it again. Item number 5, case number 2012.0154V, 3415 21st Street. Is the sponsor of this project in this hearing room?
You call it one last time.
Right, it doesn't mean that they're here, so we are going to...
Let's call it one last time to be 100% sure.
Okay. Is there the sponsor for case number 2012-0154V, 3415 21st Street?
Okay, thank you for indulging me in this executive secretary. Seeing as how the private sponsor is not present today, let's go ahead and continue this to our next variance hearing, which I believe is...
will be July 25th.
Seeing as how we are at the end of our regular calendar, I would look to members of the public that may be in the room. Is there anyone here who would like to comment on items that are not on today's agenda? Seeing none, we're going to close this hearing. Thank you all.